Hallo, wer bist
du? Good morning, Rachel, mein Vogel.
Guten Morgen, Leber, Frau, Wagen, Vogel.
Morning, Rolf, mein Name.
Morning, Tim, Rolli.
Good morning, mein Name, Johnson.
Good morning, Charles, Jordan.
Mein Name ist Tony, Flo.
Good morning, Esther, Lewis.
Good morning, Joshua, you got me.
Mr. PMG, would you like to introduce yourself as well?
Hi, my name is Kino Majera.
Hi, my name is Zant.
My name is Kino Majera.
Thank you.
As I said, thank you very much for joining us. We are expecting the public to join us as well. I've received an apology from the Minister of Social Development indicating that PA sent me an email last night saying she's not able to be here.
Thank you, Chief. I'm surprised to see that the minister is actually stepping because this is a very clear and we're looking forward to close questions to close conversation.
Have we done what you were saying?
Yes, she's ill.
So the minister's not able to join us because she's ill. I've also received an apology from member Philander is on her way. She is stuck in traffic and should be joining us as soon as she gets to the legislature. We did receive another apology, but that apology doesn't matter anymore because the member will be. Members, with that, I'm going to hand over to Dr. McDonald to make any opening remarks or any answer to the opening remarks, and then we'll dive in.
Thank you very much, Chair. You're also short of our CFO today, who's also ill, unfortunately. But Mr. Holly is the Director of Finance, is going to stand here and he's acting as CFO today. So you will vote for the Thank you.
haven't been as active as it was 2 years ago, if I can use that word. What is the communication plan for the youth cafe in Minas? Now, I'm sure that is applicable for, you can apply that to Vanguard and all the other youth cafes, the Wine House Forum as well, because there seems to be less talk around it. What is happening? How do we exercise? How do we tell the people, you know, particularly the Wine House Forum, actually, you know, an obscure place? I'm just specifically going to the youth cafe. If you don't know about it, you risk to walk past the end of the lake without knowing it's there. So that is the first question. We talk about the one thing before, the generic questions on violence against women and child murders, etc. Has this part, and you all know that we've done a lot of work over the years in terms of child maintenance and backlogs and getting people back to the member taking part in some of those marches. Is there a coordinated program in the department that look at how this is being enforced? Are the child members taken? Or are the part held still getting away with it if it's only up to the courts? Is the department playing some coordinated role in that? And the question is applicable to all our NGOs, and I ask this question to Provincial President, but we'll be more particular here. What is the enforcement or the MMA tools? We all know 3 years ago, it was Joe Dawson, the NGO in Saldana, and it was called in Porta that you were interested, and there was some fraud involved. Joe Dawson was on it, yes, monthly. Has there been an update of the performance management tools or some of those SEOs that we transfer money to? And a monitoring tool to ensure that a year from now or in the new financial year, we obviously have seen the full annual report last year, there is a lot more job documents around to ensure that when you pass the million rand gets spent on the actual program they're supposed to deliver. And how do we do performance management of the money we transfer? So you give the church of, call it later day, which is for 100,000 rand, and they're supposed to spend the 100,000 rand on 1,000 youth. It's easy for them to do their monthly report and say, we've seen 1,000 youth. From the department's perspective, how do they actually, as opposed to just looking at their monthly report, how do they ensure that the church of later day actually spend that they have seen 1,000 youth? When it comes to foster care management, and I know it's a long legal process in terms of child care and individuals who want to look after child care and foster care, etc. Has the department considered looking going forward in terms of decreasing the backlog, initiated any other processes or adjustment to the legislation? Because we haven't seen anything, certainly I haven't seen anything for the last few years. Say this is what we can do to ease the backlog, because inevitably it becomes your problem again, and you have to throw money at the problem again, as opposed to looking at ways to actually decrease the backlog. And what other interventions are you doing for the upcoming years? And then the home-based care services, Jefferson, and the third, particularly on page 311, under point 5, under the procurement. When we talk about the city of Cape Town, I know that you probably have a good relationship with it, but I still find myself, particularly as people just swear something there every Monday, I find myself meeting officials who work for the city of Cape Town and then officials who work for the Department of Social Development. At which point I'm going to start coordinating some of the services that we provide. And I'm not sure if it's funded by an NGO in Switzerland for Social Development that they have the issues on. The city of Cape Town definitely is a direct transfer. And then the last point on this page, 311, is the sanitary project. Where, how, when is this going to start happening? Which areas, how are the needs going to be determined? Is it going to be once a month? Will these be provided to the schools once a week? And would it be the school?
In this terms of school of this person, and it's also always my heart-breaking point, because when you do get some of these old age homes, and there's something that, not, that you are not actually responsible for in terms of the parents of these, or the children of these old persons. But what I'm not familiar with, what is their communication strategy? Is good and well, we know that you do very well in that regard, in transferring funding to some of these institutions. But how do you hold, I mean, we, for example, a real case, I won't mention his name yet, but a former mayor, a living man of his old age home. So I know for a fact that his children have resources. So now, but now it's from of provincial government. So how do we, when people come into our centers, do a proper financial checking to ensure that, hey, Ricardo, you are a former MP, you can afford to look after yourself, why are you becoming our province to go to the fire? So how do we get that? What is our checks and balances to ensure those people who can afford it don't become our province? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Member Paulson.
My first question is on page 323 in the line function. The point of reference is the follows working in partnership with communities, stakeholders in civil society, organizations providing related development, social work services, comprehensive child and family care and support services. The greater developmental social crime prevention and state services. So, as we all know, the biggest challenges we are facing within the province are GBV and parental abduction and murder of children, as well as can study dealing with drugs and substance abuse. So can the department give a clear example of how they intend to respond to the challenges, both through their partnership with communities and through discussion? The second question, is in page 304. In the brief analysis of demand for and expected changes in service. Service delivery was often predicted against a backdrop of increasing levels of violence against women and children, specifically the increased rate of child murder relative to the rest of the country. In our engagement in communities and in debate, our demands were clear that we need more budget to tackle GBV and femicide at the ANC, and that we need more victim empowerment centers, especially in the poor communities, not in the urban areas, where we see you are concentrated. We're told that this budget would respond to those needs. So can the department talk us through this budget and how it addresses those demands? And the third one is still on 304 paragraph, the second last paragraph. Fourth sentence, according to the South African Police Service, staff bracket today, the Western State reported the highest number of charges. In our engagement, I mean, how does this budget respond to this strategy of child matters? What additional programs are funded, and is there any increase in the budget for this purpose? With regard to other challenges listed in the paragraph, how does the department through this budget intend to respond? Here we are still in 304. We want to know how is the department going to respond in this matter? From remember 2013, 2018, and at 279 cases that we have in the Western Cape.
where the problems are in the townships, not in the urban area. I repeat that. In 305, paragraph 5, the second last sentence, the department will continue with its current pre-funding and EMR allocation to shelter for abused women and their children. I think we elaborated so much in this that in our debate, in each and every debate, as the members of Parliament, most especially women in Parliament, all of us were very concerned, including the Premier, is to the responding to my question by saying they are not doing much for the rest of the day. But what I want to know is, by continuing with currently, do you mean there will be no additional shelter? If so, why? What do you mean by increased focus on children? I want to know that. And targeted schools during 2021, financially, and the last one.
Can I ask you, do you mind if we stop and just answer those? I think I'm going to ask several questions going to what I've noted. So if you answer those and then we come back, start with you and then we'll go behind it.
No problem.
Where would be the better spot? And we want to also submit that we think
what we are observing, honorable member, is when, with the budget cut, the interaction of government with communities is continuously divided. And as we decline to work with communities, criminals are finding that space and occupy that space. And when they occupy that space, they pick up in communities to an extent that development that government wants to roll out to reach not only young people but to other targeted beneficiaries far. So we do have that problem, and as the department working with other structures, including honorable members, we are happy to look and see how best do we deal with this. Generally, we also have, we are planning for a youth cafe application on the phone so that young people, wherever they are, they understand what it is that we're doing in the West and they can brag a little bit whilst also communicating what we're doing and also allowing numbers of young people to come and visit that. So that is in the making. It's one of the strategies we're employing to see how best we reach out to young people. So those are the challenges. As we said yesterday, we were discussing whether it is necessary to quickly move and take out the funding that we are deploying in the major city to another area within the city of Cape Town or rural area. So that is under discussion at the moment. We are not sure whether that eventually is the best way to go about the money. I'm not sure if we need that.
action creation framework that we've developed to consider the RWD assessment of interest with regard to the special as also the financial aspects of the bill. So we've got various different tools that we've developed. And so you would have, for example, a rapid assessment tool that we use before we start funding a brand new NGO. So we would first go out on site with that part of the business plan, that process of gotcha part of the business plan from the partners. We will then go out on site, we will look at the finance systems, we will look at the governance systems, and we will also look at if there are any services that statutory work. Or according to legislation, we will see that actually implement the correct norms and standards. If that vehicle then make that cut off, then we will consider them only then for funding. When you're in the system for funding, you first and foremost get a contract from the department which stipulates all your outputs, your targets, and what you must use the funds for. Then we've got, so while we're busy with that, every quarter they've got to give a quarterly progress report, which we monitor. Every single of the 2,300 quarterly reports are being fine-grained, and then a manager will also look at that. If we see a red flag, then we will do also an emergency kind of send-out to go and immediately do a rapid assessment at that specific facility. Then we've also got a normal M&E plan, as we call it, where we've actually got scheduled times with all 2,300 engineers to go and do site visits. That could take the form of an ordering M&E process or a quality assurance process. Your quality assurance process would be where we even first where they do self-assessment of the engineer, and then we come to our assessor and we compare those kinds of issues. Yes, so we have also quarterly that got a report on the income expenditure of the department, and that we check up and we verify that also against our what we pay out to NGOs and so forth. When we do a full on-site visiting, monitoring quality assurance process, either or, one of the first things we do is that we do actually pull their books, we look at their accounts, we look at the invoices, we look at all of those details. We look at the fact of is the constitution fully applied? Do they have great policies in the NGO? We do all of those processes. Then even if we're not, for example, on the CYC challenge in the case center, we will look at the program of the other day. Is the social worker doing the correct process? Do the right kind of thing? We will even speak to the children in those places. If we do pick up fraud, or a potential fraud, I've got a special unit that I've got that is T-Guide, that is specific at financial issues. They will go in, and they will go back 3 years even, into the books of an NGO. Anything that pick up there, and I see, and I personally then make a decision, that I either tend to bring it in for further investigation, or we start our own process. If it is a question of fraud, immediately over to Provincial Service Service, we can also offer that on their forensic investigation, where we then report the cases to SAT. A lot of the boards I see also actually report their own cases to SAT. So the process has become very tighter this past 2-3 years, I think about 6-7 years ago. We've got more standardized processes in place. And also if an NGO, pick up small little things, might be capacity issues. Might be, we tell them we go through that capacity as well, even to the board members. I do pick up sometimes with boards in communities, the people have a passion, they come and do the work, but they're not necessarily always have all the skills necessary for certain things, like a governance process or financial process. And we do offer those training through our interactable, even our own social work, or even our own M&E officials do that training as well. So we also do another step of monitoring. Every year, all this financial and statement comes in from an NGO. We do have a team analysing all 2,300 audit financial statements from top to bottom. That's also where we pick up stuff. If we've maybe missed something on site, or as an example, sometimes happen to all seven, we've got another backup for the audit financial statements. We can actually look at those other comments from their auditors and so forth. We've even now right now two cases actually picked up some auditors that was not even registered by the laws. We brought them up on that too. So I'm very happy with the monitoring process that's happening. It is very tense, it is very tiring, but we have to do it. So currently we've got about 60 M&E officials, monitoring officials, of which about 30 is doing finance without the land of being these purely private sovereign and the government of the time. Then also the last thing part of our monitoring is when we go outside, we take a contract with, we've got a quarterly, a register of the thousands of kids or people that have benefits, their ID numbers on them, we check the ID numbers, we do spot checks, we pull those people to see if they're there. And as I actually have said, another level is when the AD comes, they actually also pull a random selection from all of our registers, and they also go check up because people exist. So that the AD level as well. So there's a lot of random checks on those sides as well. If we do pick up, there's an organization, and it could be a PCD where child numbers have been put on 3 times on a register, we pick it up. But actually teams physically go through all 140,000 kids banned in the water. That's just it. So that's the kind of things to ensure value for money and that we follow the rules and regulations.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Jordan. I think there's the issue we do pick up a couple because that's just the nature of the business. It's the same in any organisation. There's always going to be some people who try to game the system and we need to pick that up. I think the John Dalton case was a particular individual that she came up with the money. So it wasn't necessarily an organisation per se that was a necessary role, but there was an individual who was deciding to fight. I think the only concern I have really in that space is that when we do have cases of people stealing money, we do hand it over to the SACs. We haven't seen much in the way of prosecution. And I think that one of the reasons is, and you would see that probably also with the cases in the municipal space, the number of cases is huge and the resources in the SACs and the walks is limited. So they're not getting to all of the cases and they tend to focus on the high value cases. So it is unfortunate that we're not seeing the kind of prosecution we would like to see. The next question was around the foster care background. There is legislation currently before the National Parliament where they are reviewing the Social Assistance Act to try to make things better. They are now introducing a top-up grant for children who are in care family but are not placed through the courts. Ideally, this would assist somewhat in reducing the number of people who go to court for foster placements purely for financial reasons. And this is something that they're also doing with the Children's Act to amend it slightly as well, where there is a need to avoid and to use the courts for because the SARS are being willing to pay out this grant. There's a big gap between a child support grant at the moment and a foster grant. And for that reason, a lot of people whether it's a grandparent or an aunt looking after a child will go and get foster placement for the purpose of being able to receive a foster grant. So the child support grant is designed to try to close that gap so that there's an issue for going into the foster care system. Whether that will work, we will only be able to see once the legislation has changed. I flag the fact that the child support grant is still less, even with the top-up, than the foster grant, so it could still be a problem. But I think that the magistrates also are going to begin to take a harder line about which cases they entertain, so that the courts aren't just used so people can get grants, because I think that is what's boosted the numbers. If you look historically, before the process was opened up to include all family members seeking foster care so they can get foster grants, the numbers were managed. But once the process opened up, there was about 100,000 countrywide, and then when the process shifted and the national minister at the time was always for a year said that the grandparents and everyone should come and get foster care so they can get foster grants, the numbers shot up to 500,000 actually, and that's when it became unmanageable. So there's clearly a need to find a better way of addressing the money issue, and I think that's what they're trying to do. From a religious perspective, we have a foster care coordinator who's been appointed full-time, and to make the office to continuously manage and
Yeah, that's a white guy comes in the community and coming to that now. It's the community-based services from the Department of Health that got home-based carers that they deploy in the communities. We don't have any work from our side. What we have started now for the first time is looking at home-based care for older persons through an NGO that I'm testing that in Kalicha. Because of the lack of residential facilities or older child care. So it's also part of the format we have got Canada Bantu that have appointed a few home-based carers that they transport with geographics and then they move into the community. So on that issue, if there's home-based carers in Mitchell's plan, it is deemed to want from the Department of Health, not from an NGO that we're funding. Actually, I'm not sure about the relationship with the City of Cape Town, it's something that was one of the possible coordination or if there is coordination with the City of Cape Town.
Because the ones in the City of Cape Town, they keep going on, these people in the south, all the people in the south, and that sort of thing. Those are the people that are the is that they're fully funded by the agency?
Yeah, it's not that.
Yeah. I think we do study the city, we make recommendations with
steel stop so that we can have capacity to actually roll the thing up, because we didn't actually have anybody to implement the project, so we've had to pass all around quite a lot. And our question is also spent quite a bit of time in the project management work on this thing. So I think we, in the next few months, we're ready to start delivering, and in the next month or so, we'll already start the deliveries. I think all of it's now being delivered, as well as the The question about the high rate of child murders, actually I've ordered the question of about more VPCs, I think as I mentioned we are planning to expand the number of certain assets for certain victims of violence. The page share for the question on the high rate of child murders. The Department of Social Development is a participant in the Child Death Review Panel, and where child murders are picked up, we're gathering intelligence on where the which areas are the most affected and what measures need to be into those spaces. I think the safety plan initiatives are a big part of addressing that, and we've been rolling out the Arm the Child program to a lot of areas to pick up on where children are at risk. It's an early warning system where community members are practically strengthened to be eyes and ears of the department and report child any cases of children at risk. I think the Isibindi project.
in the members' lounge. So it's 10:05. We're going to be back here by 10:25. That works.